Let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Acts. Last week was very encouraging for me because so many of you interacted. It was really a lot of fun last week. And now you've had even more time to think about it as we look back at the book of Acts. We finished chapters 1 through 6 last week, just reviewing the chapter and working through what are some principles, just some simple kind of summaries of the chapter itself. So we'll pick up with chapter 7 tonight. Chapter 7 is a lengthy chapter. It's Stephen's message, basically. And then, of course, at the end of the chapter, he is martyred, the first martyr for the gospel in the New Testament for the new church. So chapter 7, someone have an idea about that particular chapter that you'd like to share with us tonight? Okay, Brother Steve?
Be not afraid of their
faces. Be not afraid of their faces. That's a great statement, isn't it? As he looks there. Great. Dale? Okay, he talked boldly about seeing Jesus at God's right hand. Wonderful. Yes, Makai? Okay, so the way he explained the gospel, it meant words, but yet he explained it to them in an intellectual way that they could understand and use. Well, he just gave a great history of Israel's history there with those men. That's a great point. Someone else? Yes, Julian? Yeah. Yeah, he really just walked through the Old Testament and boom, 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 as he worked through there. That's great. Yes, Brother Steve? Correct. Yeah, he did so, even though he knew it would result, potentially anyway, physical harm or death. So, excellent. One of the things that I thought about this chapter was, we don't always know what God is doing when something happens. We don't always have to understand. And when we read this chapter, we think, "Well, Lord, what are you doing?" But we know later that God was greatly impacting a young man by the name of Saul. And of course, from a human standpoint, where would the New Testament be without Saul, Paul? Eventually, right? And so sometimes we don't see all that God's doing. God's doing far more than we can possibly understand. And that's when we trust Him when we don't understand all that He's doing. And from our standpoint, it doesn't make sense why Stephen would have to die. But God was using that in a great way. So wonderful. Okay, chapter 8. This is also a very good chapter, isn't it? Ethiopian eunuch and all that kind of stuff kind of surveys there. One of the things that jumped out at me, and then I'll take some other ones from this chapter, is that God is concerned about the multitudes and the individuals. He did citywide campaigns, and then God said, "I want you to leave that and go into the desert because there's one person I want you to share the gospel with." From our standpoint, sometimes we think, there's a whole city hearing the gospel. Why do you want me to go out there and share with one guy? Because God's concerned about the individual. And that Ethiopian eunuch, history tells us, probably planted multiple churches in Ethiopia as he goes back and begins to share the gospel there too. So it's a wonderful part of that chapter. So someone else in chapter 8. Dale.
Verse 37, I can't think of what the verse says word for word now. But Pastor Chuck's reading that to me now. A prominent Bible translation other than the King James has that verse taken out. And it's a very old verse, and it needs to be there.
Yeah. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. They answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That declaration of this, and then the baptism, which is the order that it's supposed to have. It's interesting, he didn't say he needed to be baptized in order to be saved. He said, you need to be saved if you believe, and then we'll baptize you, which is really interesting. Yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yeah. Yes, it would definitely amaze us. Okay, someone, hey, Brother Steve. Okay. Okay, the gospel is not about self-promotion. Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy that. So yeah, that's excellent. Excellent. Okay. Yes, Will?
When the angel of the Lord came to Philip, he told him to go.
Okay, he... Right, he instantly went. He just obeyed God. Okay, you want me to go here next? Boom, that's what I'm going to do. Excellent. Okay. All right, chapter 9. Chapter 9 starts out with Saul persecuting the church. We know later that Saul describes what he was doing, breathing out threatenings, slaughter. I mean, he gives some pretty descriptive words. But then, of course, he gets saved in this chapter. So what are some truths from this that just jump out at us as we look at that? Yes, Julian. Yeah. Okay, so God doesn't give up on people. He keeps, as one author wrote, the hound of heaven, like he's after him, which is a great thought. So, Josiah? Yeah. Okay. So God has a specific call for specific people, and he talks about that here, just as Jeremiah and some of those. That's excellent. Right, someone else. Yes, Christina. Okay, so as Saul's arresting people, the testimony that those people would have had as he's arresting them, and that impact that it would have had on him is excellent. So, yes, Anna? Okay, so the Christians who were praying about this guy that was wreaking havoc on their churches... Yeah, it's excellent. God loving both of them. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so people aren't... Okay, God, they're not too hard, and God can have plans for them. That's excellent. That leads kind of to the one I put, and that is God can get our attention. He was after Paul, Saul would become Paul. And it's really neat when you read through this text of Scripture. God was going to get him as he pursued him, which is a wonderful, wonderful thought. So, yes, Brother Steve?
I was just going to comment and
yeah. He did. That, Lord, what will you have to do? That immediate surrender. Through that, and I love, I'm not sure that he knew exactly who the Lord was yet, you know, as he's unthrowing this, you know, who are you? Oh, I'm Jesus, the one that you're wreaking havoc on. That's me, you know. Oh, you know, really, really cool stuff there. So, okay. Yes, J.D.? True, right. Pray for someone like Putin, because God does save people like that, and that's a tremendous thought. Typically, I've had people who have said to me, well, I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. I usually ask them, so you don't think Hitler or someone, they're like, well, those are really bad people. You know, we kind of classify it, don't we? But yes, God can save him. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought. So, okay. Yes, Sarah? Okay. Yeah, so how long had Saul thought about these interactions with these Christians? Yeah, that's a powerful thought. And the truth is, we may not even know until we get to heaven the little things that we got to contribute to people's lives, which is wonderful. Okay, chapter 10. Chapter 10. I love this chapter too. Of course, I love the book of Acts. It's just been fun to preach through. So, okay, chapter 10. Yes, Brother Steve. The gospel is for everyone. I put down here, the gospel breaks down ethnic barriers. It's exactly what this text is talking about. And Peter had to learn that lesson, didn't he? Peter. No. You're not going to say that I can't reach a Gentile person. Rise and eat, rise and eat, rise and eat. And that's going to keep coming back in the church as well. So, Dale? Okay. Sure. Right. He was patient with Peter as he keeps showing him this aspect of it. So, yeah, excellent. All right, someone else. Chapter 10. One of the things, too, that I think is in this chapter that sometimes we skip over, not really concentrating a lot on, is the fact that Cornelius, who didn't know about the gospel, but wanted a relationship, was praying what he knew to pray. He didn't know exactly what to pray, but he was praying what he knew to pray. And then God sent the information that he needed for the exactly what he needed to do. And I love that. And that's, Jessica, that's part of your testimony as you were praying God something, and all of a sudden people show up at your door. Like, you know, and I love the morning she got saved. She showed me in her journal, God's drawing me here. And that's exactly what was happening in the process. She didn't even fully know what to pray yet, but God, this is what I want to do, right? I love that about our God, how he does that. So, Dale? Yes. Yeah. It is, yeah. Yeah, the Bible says he waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So he's like, hey, God's told me a guy's going to come and tell us exactly what we need to know about God. You come into my house today. And they gathered, and then Peter was able to preach the word of God, which is really pretty cool. Julian? Yeah. Ananias. Yeah. Yeah, so God's patient with different kinds of people, and as he continues to draw them, it is a wonderful truth about our God, and that God can use all kinds of people in the process as he draws them to himself, which is really, and I do love the interactions Sometimes I think we, if you want to say this, mystify our relationship with God when He really wants us to just talk to Him. And I've said this often, but the truth is, if you don't feel like talking to Him, He already knows that. So you might as well tell Him, Lord, I'm struggling this morning to just even talk to you. I'm sorry. That's just kind of how I feel this morning, you know? You're like, wow, you know? I think I've probably told you this story too, but one of the biggest impacts on me in high school was we had a teacher who, I knock on a door in the middle of a prayer, and he stopped the prayer and said, Lord, would you excuse me? I think I need to get the door. And he goes to the door, answers, comes back, tells the Lord who it was at the door, as if God didn't know, and then goes on with his prayer. And I thought, it struck me, he's talking to God as if he's his best friend standing right next to him. That impression has been a few years ago, and I still remember it, right? I mean, it really was that, and I think about that with our God. What a wonderful truth that is. Okay? Chapter 11. Excuse me. So chapter 11 is where Peter comes home, tells them the story of what happened with Cornelius. Okay? Yes, Makai? Yeah, so the fact that Peter retells the story and then the Jews believe him, that was a really big deal. It's hard for us to imagine what a big deal that was for them to say, oh, the gospel is going to the Gentiles. I mean, they wouldn't sit at a table with them. They would walk purposely out of the way to avoid them. So yeah, that's a great thought as we work through that. Yes, Pastor? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's excellent. So these people were persecuted, exiled from their homes, took the gospel with them. And we got a modern day example of that, of these Ukrainian pastors who said, we're not leaving. Our people are going to need help. There'll be lost people that'll need help. We will stay, and we will have opportunities to share the gospel like we've never had before, and that's exactly what's happening. So, yeah, that's excellent, Pastor. Good thought there from chapter 11. Now, one of the things that struck me about chapter 11, and by the way, you see this quite a bit in the Word of God, is that retelling stories of what God did is important for others to hear. There's times when a chapter tells the story and the next chapter retells the story by saying, by the way, this happened last chapter. And you're like, I've already read that chapter, Lord. Like, I know what it says, right? But it's really important for us to retell those stories. Sometimes even in our midst, it's important for us to rehear stories, by the way, that we've heard many times, but to not forget, hey, that's why I think it's important for us to periodically preach on the cross, that we know it and hear it. It's important for us to remember this is what Jesus did for us. Dale? Yes. Yeah, so Stephen recounted what God did in that sermon. The book of Deuteronomy recounts some of those stories. Yeah, it really is an important part. And if you look up the word memorial in Scripture, you'll find that many times God says, hey, pile up this group of stones because your kids will ask what that stones is, and then you can tell them the story that God had behind that. It's pretty powerful as we work through that, okay? Now, chapter 12. Yes, Brother Steve? Yeah, the Word of God grew and multiplied despite them trying to squelch it, didn't they? I mean, just that's a powerful thing. And what do we know from this chapter? Well, one man was killed and the other was rescued. It goes back to tell us we always don't get to choose what's happening and why. And so, yeah, it's a pretty neat thing there to look through it, okay? What else from this chapter? Oh, Micaiah? Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, good. So Herod's punishment, because he accepted that praise, equating him with God. Yeah, it's a pretty powerful text for sure in that process. Yes, Patrick? Yep. Amen. Man is fallible. God's word will endure. Boy, we have tons of stories in that through history, don't we? Where people have tried to shut God's word up. His word will stand, which is exactly what he says it's going to do over and over again. So, good. Yes, Brother Dale? Right. Yeah, so the severity of punishment is up to God and how it looks sometimes different. And it's like, oh, matter of fact, what is it, Titus or 2 Timothy? I can't remember which one, where it says, some men go to heaven without a reward. Some men are rewarded here on earth. Some men also go to heaven without their sin being dealt with, apparently. So yes, God chooses to do that. And why? We don't know all those answers. So yes, John? Right. 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 Yeah. Yes. So God knew the hearts of people. Therefore, judgment and acceptance is all. He knows what's really happening in the heart of people. And that's, she said, comforting and can scare you to death. Right, God does know exactly, you know, what's taking place there. So, good. God has purposes in both life and death, and he gets to choose that. Sometimes God is more glorified through someone's death, and sometimes he's more glorified through someone's life, and he gets to make those choices. And we don't get to make those choices, but we can trust him that he does know what's taking place there. So. Okay, chapter 13. I think we have time for one more chapter here. Chapter 13. Yes, Brother Steve? Okay, the birth of missions. There's a lot we can say from this, but in with that birth of missions is that the church should send out others to reach the world. We find this, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. That's part of our job as a church, is to be a sending agency for people around the world. And I tell you, man, it is really encouraging sometimes to see all that God's doing and to know, Lord, we get to be a part of this. That's just really exciting. To see those things. So good. All right. Something else? Yes, Patrick. I mean, Josiah.
Begging God to send someone from them out. And the whole church was involved, and they all
Yeah, so the church was unified in wanting to send this person out. And what a huge blessing that is to be able to do that. So, anyone else? Yes, Julia?
And along with that when they were willing and when they were in the right spirit of prayer, yielded to the Holy Spirit, that's when the Holy Spirit told them what to do. It's just
right.
Like for us, if we're available, if we're praying, if we're yielded to God, then the Holy Spirit will give us the next step.
Yeah, so walking in the Spirit, knowing what God wants, collectively and individually, then God can give us the next direction that He wants in our hearts and lives, which is a wonderful truth as well. So, well, good. Great. Thank you for your participation in this as well. I think these are wonderful truths as we continue to walk through them. So, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Word. We can be encouraged by it. Thank you that you give it to us to guide our hearts and lives. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.